You have to trust the one who's ahead of you and yield to their direction if you're a disciple of the Lord. I said yield, not lead. I want to say this to you. Jesus knows the way. You don't.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part two from Pastor Rogers' new series, Jesus Said. This lesson is entitled, Follow Me and I Will Make You. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Jesus did not ask him twice. He asked him one time, come and follow me. He never made any of these disciples come follow him. He didn't twist their arm. He just walked past Matthew, the tax collector, and said, come on. Hold it, y'all. I'm talking about a tax collector. I'm talking about somebody who's living in a serious house with a serious amount of property, is a well-paid individual, has much land, much property, all that kind of. How do you know that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Anybody in Sunday school with me right there? All right, climbs up in the tree. So he had plenty of money. But he left it all at the voice of Jesus to follow after him. My friends, that's called going in the same direction. Now, I can either give you directions somewhere to a place, or I can get in my car and lead you to the place that you want to go. If you're a disciple, you should be able to lead people in the same direction that Jesus is going. When you follow someone, however, I was leading someone, my wife and I were leading someone last night, to a place they were going to be staying, but they were unfamiliar with where it was. And so I'm taking them there, and it's dark and all that kind of thing, and they were a few cars behind me. They had to trust that I knew where I was going. They couldn't see me very clearly. It was dark, but they had to trust that I was going in the right direction and taking them to the right place. What's the point? You have to trust the one who's ahead of you and yield to their direction if you're a disciple of the Lord. I said yield, not lead. I said yield, not lead. I want to say this to you. Jesus knows the way. You don't. Neither do I. My prayer walking out of the house this morning, God, you know what today is. You know what today holds. I was literally walking out the door. You know what today holds. I do not. Give me wisdom and direction to make the right decisions today. I don't know about tomorrow, and I can't do anything about yesterday. Today is today. Show me the path. Show me the direction. Help me to make the right decisions today that I need to do. And the Bible says if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. It's the only place where God's a liberal. Number three. To stay close to Jesus means to be a disciple of the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus had just flipped around and said, hey. I mean, Jesus had just lost 3,000 people that walked out of his church. There's a church growth seminar. He lost 3,000. 3,000. Just because he stopped serving Wednesday night dinner, 3,000 people said, I'm not going to church anymore. And then he flipped around on his disciples and said, you're going to leave me too? And Simon Peter, you're going to see this, Simon Peter says, where are we going to go? What you are saying is the words of life. We don't have anywhere else to go. Now, my friends, listen carefully to me. If in your heart, while you're walking on this path towards heaven, the enemy is going to give you exits all the time. And if you're looking for an exit, he'll give you one of your choice. Are you hearing me? If I'm going to here in Birmingham, there is a few exits that I know that I will stop at, fuel up, whatever it may be. But it's only for a moment. But all the way there, on the way there, I can barely get on the interstate before the sign comes up and says, stop and get you some pecan pies. Does anybody feel my pain right here? Stop and get some pecan pies. And then stop at Cracker Barrel. They got a 42-foot egg out there on the billboard. Stop and get, okay, I could stop there. And then you get up to Bates House of Turkey up there, and they got these great sandwiches, and stop at Bates House of Turkey. And if I keep letting all those distractions keep me from staying close to the Lord, I'll never make it to my destination, because the enemy will always give me an exit. Just because you get an exit doesn't mean you need to take it. Come on, somebody. You have to be close enough to the Lord, you can hear his voice. The Bible says there in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That's a powerful statement. Did you read the word of God today? Don't answer. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, look at your neighbor right now and tell him, don't get distracted. That's right. Prayer and the word of God must stay close to you, especially in this hour. Okay? I had a preacher friend of mine call up, and he said, I'm sick and tired of the media. He's just speaking plain. So I'm sick and tired of the media because it just keeps lying and stuff coming out, whatever it may be. I said, man, you know and I know that the truth of God's word is what's guiding us in this hour. Now listen, you spirit-filled, tongue-talking people. Out of all the folks that ought to be close enough to Jesus that you can hear the voice and discern from truth from lies, it ought to be this group of people who claim to be spirit-filled. Come on now. Right here in this church, somebody better have some discernment. Man walked in this church one time to do harm to the pastor, had a gun inside of a bag, a brown paper bag. The early life of this church. They were right in the middle of a service. He came in this church to shoot the pastor. But this was a praying place, just like it is now. And the saints were praying, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of that service, one of the old sisters stood up, turned around to that congregation in here, and said, somebody here has come to do harm. Come on, somebody. Somebody here has come to do harm. And by the time she got through speaking, that individual ran out the door, and Holy Ghost fell on the house. Now, for my own personal safety, somebody in here better be able to be close enough to God. Number four, if you're going to be a disciple, you got to trust Jesus. Somebody say, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. But what does that mean? Hebrews 11:8, powerful scripture. Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would not receive, which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us would pick up and trust Jesus? Come on now. That's what's called trusting Jesus. I'll say to you, I've told my staff this before as well. Because in the early days of my administration here, it was tough, and we're looking at finances. And one day I had it spread out all over my desk, and I'm looking at the numbers hard, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, help, exactly. And then my mentor came in and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking at the numbers. He said, stop it. He said, there's a time to look at numbers, and then there's a time to get up and lead by faith. From that day, Abraham stepped out when God said go. He stepped out and started walking and didn't stop till he got where he needed to go. And even when he got there, God required of him a sacrifice of his own son. And I got folks look at me and say, I don't think God would do all that. I asked you, do you trust Jesus? Because if you trust him, you're going all the way. Because God's got greater things to do. And if we sit back and we only do things we can afford to do, there's no faith in that, y'all. I said there's no faith in that, y'all. Nobody ever opened a business that they could afford to open. Nobody ever, okay, here we go. Nobody ever had a baby that sat down and said, oh, yeah, we can afford him. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You couldn't afford the first one. You couldn't afford the second one, but you went ahead and had them. And if you grow them up right, they'll turn around and pay you in your old age. Come on, say amen, somebody. If you're following in a car, you got to trust somebody in spite of not knowing where they are. And God notoriously will set you on a track as a disciple and not tell you where you're going on purpose. Why? Because the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Okay. So what Jesus makes us then follow him in these ways, and I'm coming down to land this plane. Peter changed from a reed to a rock. The word, the name Simon means reed. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said, Simon, he calls him Simon. Jesus is there at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks all of them, who do men say I am? And finally, Peter steps up and says, thou art, you remember this? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned around and said to him, he said, flesh and blood, watch this, flesh and blood, just few verses before that, he calls him Simon. Now he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say, thou art Peter. Meaning rock, not just rock. The word, the name Peter actually means boulder. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this statement, this declaration that I am the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you say amen to that? So Peter is then the establishing this, and he says, you're no longer going to be a reed, you're going to be a rock. He went from being unstable as a reed blown in the wind to the rock of stability. And Peter, listen, that didn't mean that everything was going to turn out right after that. In fact, in the same conversation, Peter denies Jesus and praises Jesus. You know, one of the great things about the Bible in this time that we're in right now is this. Listen carefully. Is that we have the ability to look back at the disciples and the prophets and the kings and the priests and all of them. And we can see, if you read the Bible, you can see yourself in these individuals. I don't know about you. Can you see yourself with one breath saying, hallelujah, Jesus, and with the other breath going, I don't know. Come on now. Are you with me right here? So, with that in mind, Jesus says, I'm going to use you. And in spite of that, Jesus turns around and picks Simon Peter, to preach the first message of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. And later on, Peter is going to be flipped upside down and crucified upside down by his choice as a martyr for Jesus Christ. My friends, nobody martyrs themselves for a dead Jesus.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.